Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We always take a moment and invite folks out to visit with us. If you are in the listening area, we are located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That's 1128 Baird's Creek Road. We usually have a lot of visitors throughout the summer months. There's a Willow Creek down there and people vacationing. Probably be people up this week celebrating the 4th of July. And we want to say right off the bat, Happy Independence Day to everyone. We certainly appreciate our blessings of liberty that we have. And so it's great to be able to get together, cook out, fire the grill up, and all of those things. Those are all blessings of our liberty. And so we wish you a happy 4th of July. We are bringing this month what we're calling a summer break series. A lot of people are vacating, things like that, out of town. And we also try to do a little bit of that throughout the summer months. And so this is something that we have dealt with here on the radio broadcast before. It's been a couple years now, but it's called Your Liberty, Your Health, and the Bible. And I hope that you'll enjoy it. Think about these things as you listen in. Noah's going to come, as always, and give our contact information and then the broadcast.
We do want to say welcome to all our listeners, those listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And those who listen in on 89.1 FM, The Truth. That's KPGT out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate our listeners, and it's good to be here. Like we've already said, we started a new series last week entitled Your Liberty, Your Health, and the Bible. And what we were talking about to begin with last week was our first broadcast on that subject. We were talking about this: if you lose your health, you've lost your liberty. Now, there's a lot of things in the world we're concerned about and that are going on and that we could talk about. But there's really just a very few things that you can actually do anything about. And actually, your health is one of those things. That is something that you have some control over. Now, we realize that anybody can get sick at any time. They can have anything happen, accidents, virus, whatever, but we're just talking about generally speaking, thinking about your health, your liberty, your health, and the Bible. And if you lose your health, you've lost your liberty. You become dependent upon somebody else. You become your whole schedule, your whole life revolves around doctors, rehabilitation, appointments, treatments, all of these things. And we could think about many different examples of that. But today I have actually more to deal with than I have time to deal with it. So we're going to jump right into the subject. And of all days, and I left the house and I thought to myself, do I have everything I need? And you know what I forgot? I forgot my Bible. I don't have my Bible. So I was looking, and I have one on my iPod. Of course, that's in the car, so I don't have my Bible today. And that we will just give you the scripture that we were going to read out of, and it's from the creation account, Genesis chapter 1, actually verses 6 through 8 I was going to read, and that has to do with on the second day of creation, the Bible says God made the firmament. God made the firmament. Now, that's a big word, and you might say, if you didn't listen in last week or you're just tuning in, this guy's talking about your health, but he's talking about the firmament. I would say most people's idea of health is actually very limited. If I ask somebody, what do you think about your health? What do you have to do? Well, you might say, I've got to change my diet. I got to get plenty of rest. Need to exercise. Need to lose some weight. Wash your hands.
you know, go to the doctor and get a physical and do what the doctor says. But really, if we think about it, there's millions of contributing factors to our health. You just think about germs. If your immune system is not working right, and you come in contact with bad germs, virus, bacteria, you know, that's going to make you sick. So your immune system has to be working right. We think about energy and nutrients derived from food and water. That's something, you know, you've got a part of what you eat. We've all heard that saying, you are what you eat, you know. If you eat good food, you have a good diet, your body has a lot better fuel to draw from than if you're living on sugar and high fructose corn syrup and sugary sweet drinks and all that kind of stuff. There's not a lot of nutritional value to those things. But the first thing we're going to look at concerning our health is something that we think very little about. And as we mentioned in Genesis chapter number 1, the Bible talks about how God created the firmament. And the firmament just simply means the air. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, the Bible says over there, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but it says, "The Lord God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and man became a living soul." That's not exact, but from my memory, that's what it's talking about. That the Lord God breathed into Adam, and man became a living soul. And from that moment on, Adam became dependent upon the firmament. Now, the firmament in Scripture, that word is firmament. It is mentioned 17 times in the Scripture. 9 times it is mentioned in Genesis chapter 1. 2 times in the book of Psalms, 5 times in the book of Ezekiel, and 1 time in the book of Daniel. And every time you find the word firmament, it means this, the expanse. It means the visible arc of the sky. That's where the birds fly. That's where the astronauts fly. And that's where the angels fly. Sometimes we refer to it as heaven. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 20 refers to it as the open firmament. It means the air. It means the atmosphere. Now, it's mentioned in Genesis chapter 19, verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God." So you go out on a clear night, you look up, you see the stars, you see some of the planets, and you realize how vast our universe and the galaxies and all the heavens declare the glory of God. But sometimes we look over the second part of that verse, and it says, "And the firmament showeth his handiwork." The air it is talking about. The atmosphere shows his handiwork. The word, when we're talking about the word handiwork there, it's talking about the very small, intimate details. Now, David said in Psalms 139, verse number 14, he said, talking about the Lord, he's praying, he's talking to the Lord, he said, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And he's talking about the body. He's talking about just the fact of all of our faculties, all of our emotions, all of our abilities that we have as a human being. You know, he blinked his eyes, he moved his hand, he thought about breathing and his heart beating and all these things. He said, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And I want to talk just a little bit today about the relationship between God's handiwork, that's the firmament, the atmosphere, the air that we breathe, and the fact that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. If we could really see this, little things we think nothing about, like breathing and the air that we breathe, how exact it all has to be in order for us to live, to function, to just everything about us and every living thing depends upon the atmosphere. Now, God made the firmament on the second day, the air, the atmosphere. And of all the planets in the universe, earth is unique because it sustains life. Now, I know there's a lot that are looking for life on other planets, but they've not found anything, and I don't really believe that they will find little green men on Mars or anything like that. Earth is unique. We read about it in the Bible. God placed life upon the earth. For God so loved the world, John chapter 3, verse 16 says, but our climate, our environment upon the earth, it sustains us and all that we need to live. Now, a lot of times Christians get labeled that they do not care anything about the environment. Now, everybody ought to be concerned about the environment. From a biblical viewpoint, God made man the steward of the earth. He put Adam in the garden and told him to dress it, to keep it, to take care of it. He told Adam and Eve to go into the world and be fruitful and multiply. And man has been given stewardship of the earth, meaning we're to take care of it. It's in all of our best interests. Doesn't matter if you're conservative or liberal or a Republican or a Democrat. It does not matter. We all breathe the same air. We all have to live on the same planet. So it is to our benefit to take care of the environment, of the earth, that God has entrusted unto us. God gave man stewardship of the earth. Now, personally, I think man does a better job some ways than he did even just 25, 30, 40 years ago. I grew up in the 70s and the 80s, and I was talking to my wife the other day, and we were just remembering back. And, you know, once upon a time, if you, say, took your family to the bowling alley, we would go as when I was younger, we'd go to the bowling alley, and my parents and we bowled, you know. Boy, you'd go in there, and you couldn't even hardly see. The place would be full of cigarette smoke, and you'd be there a little while, and your eyes are burning, and you know, you go home, you smell like it. It was nothing when I was little to get into a car with some of friends, family, people we went to church with, aunts, uncles. Now, nobody in my house smoked, but you'd get in a car and drive to Bristol, and you'd be 2 hours over, 2 hours back, and the car filled with smoke. Once upon a time, they mounted a campaign a few years ago, don't litter. I mean, people threw their cans out, and they threw their trash out the window, and I remember there was a nationwide campaign not to litter and pick it up and don't throw it down. And, you know, people do, you don't see that as much as you did once upon a time. Once upon a time, exhaust was worse than it is today. So there's a lot of ways that we have improved our atmosphere. We have began to think differently about pollution and the air that we breathe. But you think about this a little bit. People are generally sicker today than they were 25, 30, 40, 50 years ago. When I was growing up, maybe one of my classmates had bad allergies. Now, most children, most young people, young adults, most everybody deals with allergies, bad allergies, respiratory problems, breathing problems. It is just as common today as, everybody, it seems, is taking medication for something. Something is different than it used to be. Something is going on in our world. Could it be one of the things that's making us sicker is just simply the air that we breathe? I think about this when I look outside some days, and there it looks like somebody's playing tic-tac-toe in the sky. And the contrails from the airplanes never disappear. The sky can start out blue, Carolina blue, and after a while it just turns to a hazy color. Is that something that's staying, spraying? I think about all the spraying of Christmas trees and things that goes on in our area, and all the incidents of cancer that is going on. Are we breathing something that's making us sick? I don't know. But I do know this, 96% of the nutritional need of the body comes from the air that we breathe. Now you think about that. That is just an amazing statistic. 96% of the nutritional needs of the body come from the air that we breathe. Now you would think, well, we get our nutrition from our food. We get it from water. We get it from juice, something like that. But when you think about how much we breathe compared to how much you eat or drink, it does make sense. Sometimes we say, boy, all I did was eat today. You know, like it's been in the past few days, it's snowing outside, you can't get in and you stay in, and or maybe at Christmas or New Year's or Thanksgiving, and you say, oh, all I did was eat all day long. Well, that's a over-exaggeration. Nobody eats all day long. But nobody says, there you are breathing again. You know, you might walk into the kitchen and find somebody and say, there you are eating again. But nobody thinks about how much we breathe. We breathe all the time, and you can breathe all you want to, and it's free, and you'll never gain any weight, and you cannot overdo it. That is a blessing. That's something that you have to do. You have to breathe. And the atmosphere that we live in is amazing. Our atmosphere, I'm talking about Earth's atmosphere, is 4 parts nitrogen, 1 part oxygen, 1% argon, and other trace elements. There's all kinds of elements, what they call trace elements, in the air that we breathe, even carbon dioxide, neon, helium, methane, krypton, hydrogen, nitrous oxide, carbon monoxide, ozone, nitrogen dioxide, ammonia, water vapor. The vapor, there has to be a humidity to the air. All of these things, if you look at the science of it, is absolutely amazing. There is a field of study called cellular respiration, and all that is the science of breathing. And of course, this, like everything else in our society, has been studied and written about and figured out, you know, what's going on when you breathe. I'm going to give you a technical description, then I'm going to say just a little bit about it. But when you think about the science of cellular respiration, which is just the science of breathing, it is the set of the metabolic reactions and processes that take place in the cells of organisms to convert biochemical energy from nutrients into adenosine triphosphate and then release waste products. Now that's a long definition, and what it is just saying, what it means, is by the process of breathing, it causes your body to create energy, which is that what the words adenosine triphosphate, which is just referred to as ATP. Now, ATP just means energy. If you drink sports drinks, Gatorade, Powerade, things like that, there's all kinds of sports drinks that are designed to help replenish that ATP. Now, the breathing is what facilitates the ability to utilize food and drink. Your food and drink could not be converted to energy without breathing. And so breathing is so very important. Without breathing, you wouldn't have any energy. You couldn't burn anything. And the body, and this is what David said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your body is actually how you get energy. There's an internal combustion system. Now, man has created many internal combustion systems, engines. Think about all the engines. Think about a locomotive engine. Think about a diesel. Think about a car engine. Think about the way your house is heated. All of that requires fire of some sort. You say, well, I have electric heat. But that electricity is coal burning, or nuclear fission. There is a burning that is going on. It has to be in order for there to be a transfer of energy from one source to the other. But your body has an internal combustion system that runs without fire. Now, I know sometimes you say, well, I've got heartburn. But let me tell you, that's not really fire burning you. And if you've ever had it, you might feel like there's a fire down in there. But how amazing that our bodies are, that there is a combustion system, and the breathing is the fuel to convert the energy so that you run off of. It is an absolutely amazing thing to think about. And did David know about all that? I don't know. Probably not. But the more you look into it, and I know there's a lot of people say, well, we're here by accident. I believe what David said, we're fearfully and wonderfully made, created by God. It is an amazing thing. And the firmament, the Bible says, the firmament showeth his handiwork. The firmament is talking about the earth's atmosphere. There are many layers to the earth's atmosphere. I do not have time to go all into it, but the exosphere, that's outer space. That's 440 miles above. That's halfway to the moon. The thermosphere is 50 to 444 miles up. That's where the International Space Station orbits around the Earth. You cannot breathe up there. The air is the same, but it is so, the oxygen is so rarefied that you couldn't breathe. I mean, one molecule of oxygen could travel for 3/4 of a mile before colliding into another. So you have to have the right mixture in order for us to be able to breathe and survive. You cannot survive that high in the air. Then there's the mesosphere. That's 31 to 50 miles up. The temperature there is between minus 120 to 150 degrees. So if you think it's cold outside today, just be thankful you're not in the mesosphere. There's the stratosphere. You've heard of that. 7 to 31 miles in the air. Up there, it's much warmer. It's only minus 76 degrees Fahrenheit. Then there's the troposphere, 0 to 7 miles. Now, here's an amazing thing. The warmest air is near the bottom. The coolest air is near the top. That creates a mixture. Our air is continually being mixed. Now you take a deep breath wherever you are and wherever you are listening, and you don't choke. You have air come into your lungs. That is a perfect mixture that you're getting from the firmament which God made, the atmosphere. It's 78.1% nitrogen, 20.9% oxygen, and it has the right water vapor and humidity in so you can breathe, so you can live. This is why the Bible says in Psalms 19, verse number 1, the last part of the verse, it says, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. What God is able to do, or what God has done when he created this earth to sustain life, and the Lord God breathed into Adam's nostrils, and he became a living soul, and we have been dependent upon the firmament ever since. The air that you breathe is so very important. I know sometimes we say to our children, you cannot go outside, it'll make you sick. Have you ever thought maybe it's staying inside that's making us sick? We have, instead of, you know, when I was growing up in elementary school, why they lift the windows up in the spring and in the fall, and fresh air would come in, and we'd go outside and we would play. I remember the first time I visited Idaho. Many of you remember that several years ago we were missionaries, and I pastored a church that a missionary had started. Well, the first time I went out there on a survey trip, it was in the month of January. And I went with a missionary friend. We went to Ashton, Idaho. That was the hometown in which he lived. School was in, and it was about minus 10 degrees outside. And we were driving into the little town, and in that town, you could drive a snowmobile on the street. I mean, when they have winter all winter long. And do you know what the children were doing? It was in the middle of the day. They were outside playing on the playground. And I told the missionary I was with, I said, I can't believe they're outside. He said, if they didn't get outside and play, they'd have to stay inside for 5 months out of the year. So they just get used to it, and they go on outside, and they get some fresh air. What am I saying today as we think about your health and the air? It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's not going to make you sick. It's going to help you stay well. And so we hear sometimes people say you need to go out and get some fresh air. You know what? There's a truth to that. And so we think about the firmament which God has made. The Bible says the firmament showeth his handiwork, the little small details that we can live and breathe. And it is such a delicate balance. And there's many things we think could throw it off and destroy it, but you think of all these thousands of years that God has kept it in balance so that you and I today can breathe and live, and our bodies can turn food into fuel, and you'll have energy to do some things. So David said, I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Our bodies are amazing things. In spite of all the abuse that we heap upon them, they somehow withstand it. They take a lot of abuse. So God has given you life, health. It's really worth taking care of. It's one of the few things that you can be a steward of. And I will say this as we close today. Life, or breath, wind, that's another way that's translated, or spirit is translated as wind. We find in the Bible that the Holy Spirit is a type, or is represented by wind, the Spirit. And it is the Spirit of God that moves upon a person's heart that they might have spiritual life. Jesus talked about in John chapter number 3, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The Spirit moves where it will, talks about in verse number 5. And so all these things are not only important physically, but they're a beautiful picture spiritually that we need the Spirit of God to move upon our heart and life, that we might have eternal life. So a lot of good things, a lot of good thoughts there. John said in 3 John verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. What a wonderful verse of scripture there, and John's wish for the beloved. Well, we appreciate you listening in today. We hope you've had a good day so far. And Noah is going to come and give the contact information. We appreciate you listening, and we appreciate your prayers. Have a good day, and God bless you.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty right here on AM 1450 WATA, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.